T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dale Arnold.
You know, it's never a good thing for a goalie to kind of be facing the play with your back, but luckily it stayed out.
You know, now you're going home. Stanley Cup's in the building. Someone's winning it.
Rich Keefe.
Do the Bruins win that?
Yes, they win the cup.
Oh, damn!
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Dunsky.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. We're down here in Lincoln, Rhode Island, at the beautiful Kirkbright Country Club, site of the 7th annual 18 Holes for a Cause, presented by WEEI and all to benefit the Jimmy Fund. Happy to be down here, and Lenny Clark's already been by to say hi. He probably appears at more charity events than anyone I know.
Yeah, pretty incredible.
He is always out there giving of his time and efforts. Of course, the biggest story around here for the local sports fans is Game 7 comes up Wednesday night at the Garden. Bruins and the St. Louis Blues. The Cup will be in the building.
It sure will
be.
The
Cup will leave with one of those two teams on Wednesday night. And the fact that it is the first time in the history, long storied history of the Boston Bruins, 6 Stanley Cup championships in their history and all that stuff, that they have never had a Stanley Cup Final Game 7 in the city of Boston in their history until now.
So maybe why it's such a tough ticket to get. Because you look at it, and obviously anytime it's a Game 7 or anytime it's a World Series game or an NBA Finals game or a Stanley Cup Final game, it's going to be a really expensive ticket. But I was actually kind of floored because this is a team that won it 8 years ago. So it's not one of these franchises that – it's not like going to the Cubs. You're going to Wrigley or even the Red Sox in 2004. I know they didn't clinch there, but still just going to see the World Series.
Right.
And they hadn't been in a while. And they certainly hadn't won in forever. But still, I think people, because they didn't get a chance, because it was in Vancouver last time, you don't know when you're going to see another one, even though the city has been so blessed with all 4 of these teams, how good they've been, but wanted to go see the Bees get it done. I mean, that's why, some people are going to be spending $30,000 just for one seat on Wednesday night.
It's phenomenal. It's mind-boggling, the numbers that are out there. Yeah. I mentioned last night we were doing the post-game show on Nesson, and during one of the commercial breaks, Billy Jaffe just pulled up his phone, and there's a fairly new hotel right across the street from the Garden. I won't even mention the name because you can't afford to stay there this week.
Well, speak for yourself.
But for Wednesday night, a room is $2,400 for the night.
What else is in there? $2,300 and change?
No,
or what
have
they got in there?
Other hotels in the immediate vicinity of the Garden, similarly high priced.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
We've looked online at ticket prices for Wednesday night. We've seen a lot of championships around here over the last number of years. But we've never seen the Bruins clinch a Stanley Cup on home ice, and folks want to be there.
Got a chance
to
do it, and I think that they will. And obviously we'll have more on Game 7 as we go forward, because it's not till Wednesday night. But I thought, I don't know what the biggest takeaway for you was watching the game, but for me, it was once again Tuukka Rask, more often than not, has been the best player on the ice in the entire postseason. So not just for the Bruins, not just for any team. He's been the best. And last night, I think if you had a different goaltender, you either lose or at the very least you're sweating it out late in the game. Instead, you win 5-1 because there were so many chances that the Blues had, whether they're on the power play or even some of their 5-on-5 stuff, where they would have a lot of action right in front of the net, and yet Tuukka would just stand tall the whole time. I thought that was one of the best games that he has. I know he's had shutouts this postseason, but I think that was one of the best games that I've seen him play.
If you look at the 3 series clinchers that the Bruins have played in so far, obviously they clinched against Toronto, clinched against Columbus, clinched against Carolina. In those 3 games, Tuukka Rask has faced a total of 96 shots in those 3 games. He stopped 95 of them.
He's been off the charts, locked in. And, the team knows it. And to their credit, they're playing well in front of them. The defensemen, I thought, all had games last night. But Tuukka was just kind of next level. And it had to be so frustrating because they were trying everything, you know, and the Blues just couldn't get anything going. And Tuukka was there every time. The one goal that he allowed, they had to replay, and it barely snuck in there. And it did.
It was an incredible play to even get as much of it as he did.
But the team must have so much confidence playing in front of Tuukka when they know that he's that way. Like, it's just going to completely change your mindset when you know your goalie's
fantastic.
Do you
think the Blues feel as confident when they're playing in front of Jordan Binnington, who
I can't imagine.
At times looks great, and at other times, and even in the game that they won in St. Louis in game four. You know, where the Bruins came out flying in the first period, couldn't get one by. Oh, no, it was game five here.
Oh, okay.
They outshoot the Blues 17-8 in the first period, can't get one by him. He looked really good.
He did. Yeah, that was probably the best he played.
In the third period, he started to look leaky again.
Shaky.
He gave up the goal to DeBrusk, but he also had pucks that were sliding by him. And,
yeah.
And, you know, defenseman Gunnarsson's making saves behind him.
Like, how do you look at the Carlo goal if you're on the Blues and say, you got to have that one? Like, we're going up against Tuukka on the other end, and you're going to let that thing in? Like, that's going to drive them nuts.
Well, what they were doing, because you have to say this stuff at this point, is bad bounce.
Bad bounce.
That was a bad bounce.
That's a bad goal. I'm going to take out the word bounce.
Yes,
I'm going to put the word goal in there. That was a terrible goal to allow. And meanwhile, Tuukka is just so locked in, and you're like, oh, they just lost two games. Because what was the stat? Like, Tuukka asked, did he never lose three games in a row or something insane this year? You know, because by the time, you know, then they'd go with Halak or whatever it was, but he himself hadn't lost three straight games. And yeah, he was dialed in, and you could tell. And so was the team, though, because they were able to get things going once they broke through initially on the power play. I thought it was important. I know it was a 5-on-3, but you have to score. And the fact that it was Marchand, who has had some ups and downs.
Yep.
Let's face it, the overall numbers are pretty good. But when
he's
you're
leading
watching
the league in scoring in the playoffs this year.
So how do you argue with that? But then there are certain games where he just seems to be absent, and then there are other games where he is all over it.
They scored 3 5-on-5 goals last night.
Yeah, that was great to see.
A fourth one if you count Zdeno Chara's empty netter.
Yeah, okay. So three. Let's say, even if it's just three, that's really promising because you say, all right, game seven – you can't, I don't think you can, rely on the power play. Maybe they let more things go. I know the Blues really crossed the line a lot, but maybe they let more things go, and you only get a couple of power plays, let's say, on Wednesday night. Now I have more of a confidence that they can win playing 5-on-5 than prior to Game 6.
You made the point earlier, and I think you're right. Given how dirty the Blues are, just in general, not just this series, the whole playoffs, the Sharks talked about it, other teams, they're a dirty team.
Right.
They will go crazy in a game seven. You know, now it's, okay, suspend me for the first three games of the regular season next October. Who cares?
Right. If a guy took off his skate and tried to stab somebody, would it surprise you?
No.
Like, I feel like
it takes a
little
more
surprise.
Time.
I just feel like you kind of saw them lose their composure at the end of last night's
couple
game.
Of minutes.
Yeah, and you sort of see that. So what happens if you're up two, or I'm sorry, if you're the Blues and you're down two, all of a sudden, do you start to let it get away from you a little bit?
I would almost guarantee somebody's going to take a run at Tuukka Rask tomorrow, Wednesday night.
Right.
And my leading candidate is David Perron.
Yep.
Who's been taking runs at him the whole series anyway.
I think, for sure it could be him. And then how do you respond to that, though? And then that goes back to, you got to be like the Bruins of Game 3. And it's funny because when Lenny Clark was joining us, he was saying, I can't believe the restraint the Bruins have. You get hit in the head.
Well,
how do you not
Zdeno
respond
Chara's
right away?
Playing with a broken jaw.
Yeah.
He's got that big face shield on, and Braden Schenn is punching him in the face shield.
Like, how do you not? And I don't think anybody would blame him if somebody punched you in the face and you had a broken jaw. If you just took your stick and just absolutely cracked them, like, we'll use it like a weapon. But what they got to do? Game three, a million penalties by the Blues, and the Bruins scored 4 power play goals on 4 shots. Like, if you do that, then the game is over and the cheap stuff, and then maybe they just quit. Maybe at that point they say, all right, enough is enough, and they're still going to kind of take liberties here and there, but they'll be done. If the Bruins score first on Wednesday, I think it's over.
Well, and as you mentioned with Marchand, who scored first last night, in his playoff career as a member of the Boston Bruins, when he has scored a goal, the Bruins are 25-1 in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Outrageous, isn't it? I mean, that is unbelievable.
Here's another, and I love these things. The Bruins have played in 5 elimination games this postseason. 2 of them have been there.
Yeah, yeah.
Of potential elimination games. But in the 5 elimination games that they've played in, they're 5-0. Tuukka has stopped 97.3% of the shots against, 145 of 149. and the line of Marchand, Bergeron, and Pastrnak have combined for 19 points in those five games.
No, that makes, see, that's what I'm talking about.
And last night,
when those guys are rolling, it's
Marchand had a goal and an assist. Pastrnak had a goal and an assist.
Yeah,
they scored 5-on-5. They scored power play.
They've had few games where they'll give you a goal. Right, they're either that line is dominating and it shows you why they can be the best line in hockey, or it's they're falling apart and we're saying, oh, do you move Pastrnak off? Like, what do you do? They've rarely sort of just chipped in with the one, and that, you know, maybe that would have been a decider. It's kind of all or nothing with those guys.
By the way, Bruce Cassidy's met with the media already here this morning. He said they came out of last night's game fine. You know, they're health wise. He said, you know, everybody's ready to go for Game 7. He also said Matt Grzelcyk could be a wild card. So he hasn't eliminated the possibility of Grzelcyk being back in the lineup.
Do you put him back in? Because who do you take out? Obviously, John Moore, who I thought John Moore played really well.
I agree.
And I know you can make the other argument. You can say, hey, well, you know, Kuhlman hadn't played in a while. Kuhlman comes in there, looked good, scores a goal and all of that. But he's also not coming off of a concussion. So if you're taking Grzelcyk out, he thought he was going to be able to play in Game 5. He couldn't. He flies down to St. Louis, can't play in Game 6, and now you're just going to throw him into Game 7 of the Cup Final. I'm sure he would love the opportunity, but everybody that they rolled out there in Game 6, I want all those guys back. That was a great game start to finish.
You're not going to mess, in my opinion, you're not going to mess with anything up front from what you saw last night. Sorry, David Backes.
That's too bad.
Carson Kuhlman's going to be back in there again. Sorry, Chris Wagner, who is desperately trying to get himself back on the ice, has been practicing the last couple of days with the team.
That fourth line.
I'm not doing anything to that fourth line, and I love Chris Wagner.
Oh, and he was a big part of it earlier on
in
the playoffs. He was great, but and Cassidy's even talked about that. Like, once they had that whole group healthy together, they sort of had a four-man fourth line, right? And they would sort of rotate those guys in and out. You know, Corrali seems like forever ago, but we opened the playoffs, he was hurt, so Corrali wasn't out there. And then he's been so important to them since. So, yeah, I'm just trotting that same group out. I could understand the idea or the appeal of bringing Grzelcyk in, because he is, overall, he's better than Moore. He's better than Clifton.
He's got such puck-moving abilities.
Yeah, but
you know, that one-man breakout that you saw from McAvoy at times and Krug at times, where they can just get the puck behind the net and go.
But something's up for him not to be able to get cleared. They kept thinking he's going to get cleared.
I know this is hard. Frankly, I don't understand all of it, but there are simple procedures. If you're in the concussion protocol, you have to pass these certain steps one by one by one. And he flunked the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
And he flunked it twice. He flunked it before Game 5 here.
Right.
He wanted to play.
Yeah.
He didn't pass. They said, sorry, you can't do it. And
I thought Fourier said he got cleared.
No, he didn't.
Oh.
And he flunked it again before last night's Game 6.
You feel bad for the guy, but I just don't think – it's not like his replacements have just fallen on their face. Again, like they played pretty well. Chara proved that he can give you 20-plus minutes, too, last night. And so now you give him two more days off, and I would think you can get more of the same. So those guys I would expect would be similar. You know, Clifton probably doesn't – you know, you pick and choose when you use him. You don't roll him out there nonstop. He's not going to be on the power play. He's not going to be on the penalty kill. But all those other guys stepped up and were great.
Somebody's got to explain to me, too, the logic and procedures of the National Hockey League, because day before yesterday, Saturday, they bring Zdeno Chara out to a podium.
What are we doing?
And
what's the point of that?
It's obvious when you see him, and he's talking like this because his jaw is wired.
He could maybe be a ventriloquist going forward.
He almost has to be.
So stupid.
So is it okay to just say, you know what? I know we want to make all of our players available. This is an important time of the year for everybody.
Yeah.
But guys whose jaws are wired shut, we're going to just make them exempt.
So that one is really strange that they would even have him out there. Then they had the time where he had the two written statements.
Yeah, he had to write out answers.
You have 20 guys on the team, and you got to talk to the one with the broken jaw. Like, let's wait till the end of the season. I'm sure it'll be available to you. But what's even crazier to me is Matt Grzelcyk talking to the media twice now when he hasn't cleared concussion protocol. Can you imagine that with the Patriots? If they had a
guys
guy
are clear. You can't see them if they play for the Patriots and they're in concussion protocol. You don't even see them
in
the locker room.
No, you would never see them. They certainly wouldn't talk. And then even after they get cleared, you'd probably wait until they played a game and then they would talk. And it just seems weird because the Bruins, well, really hockey in general, is very buttoned up with their injuries, their upper body, lower body, undisclosed, all this kind of stuff. And so they're secretive about it. But to have Grzelcyk available to the media, I thought that was because, you know, Fourier obviously was saying that he was going to play, and you see him talking to the media. He was skating. Now he had the non-contact
on. He certainly looked
So I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. He probably is playing. Why else would you have the guy talk? And then, nope, he's not going. And then when we heard that he was on the flight to St. Louis, we're like, oh, well, that's a good sign. He's probably going to play. And then he still doesn't. So I wouldn't hold my breath for him in game seven.
He's the possibility. And and I could make an argument that if he's cleared and he's ready, you put him in the lineup. I can't make an argument for anybody else.
No, I can't. And you know me, I've liked Backes a lot, but after seeing it play out the way that it did, and Kuhlman was ready to go, provided a great goal for you, and it just helps those guys. Like whether he's playing with Krejci, it's an extra skilled guy that back. And so say Backes goes out there and has six or seven hits. Does that really do anything? Like, I talked myself into, yes, it would, but watching it unfold yesterday, plus, you got guys like Achari who will still hit guys. You know, that whole fourth line's hitting
Corrali
guys.
The will
defensemen
hit guys.
Are hitting guys.
Nordstrom is hitting guys.
Nordstrom's trucking guys. Even little Torrey Krug's out there smacking guys around. So because they have all that, yeah, it sucks. I mean, that's got to be really tough for Backes, especially against this team. He had his opportunities. He was in the lineup for a while, but... yeah, my guess is he's going to be watching.
I said earlier in the program, as much as I want to see the Bruins win the Stanley Cup and win it on home ice and see what it's like in the city of Boston and all of that, and that's all true, I almost want to see St. Louis lose more than I want to see the Bruins win.
They are frustrating. I mean, it is just, you saw how they played at the end of the game, but that's just more of the same. I mean, it's got a chance to really get out of hand on Wednesday.
I mean, you saw the last couple of minutes what
they
were
they're
doing.
Dirty. That's just.
I mean, what are they going to be like in Game 7? As I said, I promise you, somebody's going to truck your goaltender tomorrow night.
Well, and the
Wednesday night.
And one of the big one of the keys is going to be, too, is what do the refs allow? Because usually, hey, Game 7, if you want to not call things on both sides, I'm kind of in favor of it. But there's a difference between, you know, maybe letting like a little cross check kind of go, but like an elbow to the head, you can't let go. Like some of these ones that I think that they're going to.
The Nordstrom board last night.
Oh, God.
You have to call that.
Yeah, you have to call
it. They,
yeah, right,
by
right,
the
right.
way, both officials had their arms in the air.
Yeah.
Both officials immediately called it as they should have. We said this earlier, and I'll repeat it for the sake of making sure. The two guys who worked last night's game, mm-hmm. Chris Rooney, Gord Dwyer, they handled it perfectly last night.
Yeah, bring them back.
You didn't even notice them, which is ultimately what you want from officials.
Of course.
They're part of the game, obviously, an important part of the game, but you don't want to be sitting there watching Nola Chari get slew-footed, and you're saying, wait, how come nobody's making a call here? What's going on?
No, nothing.
There wasn't a single instance last night where I'm going, where's the call? What is that?
No, I thought they did a good job. They called just enough. Again, you can't just swallow the whistle if there's things like that going around, right? When guys are getting just destroyed into the boards and things like that. Some of the calls were obvious. You know, you throw a puck into a crowd, guess that's going to be a call, and it happened to both teams. But
until
for the
they
most
had
part, they were good.
The little flurry of stupidity there at the end of the game. The Blues had four power play tries. The Bruins only had two. I didn't have an argument.
No.
They deserved the penalties that they got.
Yeah, that was fine.
You weren't sitting there saying, okay, fine, you're going to call that trip against McAvoy. How come you didn't call this against Perrant?
Right, and it wasn't like the Marchand like pitchfork from Game 5.
Right.
Like, there wasn't anything
some little
stupid.
Tap and you're going, really?
Even that, like, you know, you wouldn't, if that happened to the Blues, like, yeah, as a Bruins fan, you'll take the power play, but you're like, that's cheap. Like, you don't need to take that one. Like, there are plenty of real ones to call. You don't need to worry about stuff like that.
There was one that I thought was really bad. And it was the one where, was it Maroon, or it was Perron, I guess, and Chara were going after each other, side of the net.
Oh.
And Chara takes a couple of cross checks, and he gives a whack back. And then he just knocks him down. He's bigger and stronger, and he knocks him down, and he gets an interference minor for that one. That was the only one where I went, oh, come on, really?
I know, that was sort of like either...
Did he get 2 minutes for being big?
Yeah, call them both or don't call either.
Yeah.
Right, it's one of those, because that was earlier in the series when Chara did a lot less. And they did. They threw both guys in the box. And you're like, well, that was useless. Like, what was really the point of that? But no, I hope it's the same. I hope it's the same group back. I don't. And again, great to see the Bruins score on the 5-on-5. That's going to make them feel a whole lot better. Because guess what? Maybe you don't get the calls in Game 7, and you still have to find a way to win.
If you're a Bruins fan, I'm wondering what it is you're concerned about for tomorrow night. Take the officials out of the equation for a
moment. Well, that might be it.
No, I understand. Yeah, take that out of the equation for a minute, because that's kind of out of your hands. The only concern I have, if I'm a Bruins fan going into this, is I'm looking at a St. Louis team that is now 5-6 on home ice in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, that's true.
And 9-3 on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's the one thing where I go, you know what? They're just a better team on the road.
Well, that's a good one. And then this is something that actually Rossi brought up after game three, and you and I didn't want to hear it, but throughout the playoffs, not that they've won after every loss, but Binnington.
They've responded.
Yes. Yes. Specifically Binnington, when he's looked bad, like you're like, this guy's an NHL goalie. The next night he snaps out of it, or the next game he snaps out of it. So that would be my concern, is I don't think he's a great goalie, but first period of game five,
he looks
was
like
a great
journeyman
goalie.
Though.
No, he does. He absolutely does. He looks like somebody's backup, and now he's getting a chance. And he was. He was like their fourth string goalie at the start of the year. But we've seen stretches of it. So game five, the first period, if he's able to look like that the whole game, now Tuukka's going to also have to be perfect on the other end, and then it ends up being a low-scoring game. Game seven, low-scoring game. Who knows? Some fluke goal happens on one side, and now you have a cup champion.
He is a whack job, by the way.
Yeah, he is. He's a little screwy, but I come to expect that with goalies.
I am a little concerned. One concern. It's a small concern.
What's that?
But our guy in St. Louis.
Oh, Doug Vaughn, the poet laureate of the Blues.
I'm a little concerned because it's been clear as this series has gone on that he's much happier writing poems after wins than writing
the ups and
poems
downs.
After losses.
Doug Vaughn sounds like McAvoy with how the season has gone, up and down and up and down.
So should we check in, do you think?
I think we should. We probably owe it to everybody because this might be – well, first of all, did he do one? Do we know that he did one? The Blues were kind of sad.
I believe he did.
Okay. All right. If he did one, I would like to hear it.
And the interesting part will be whether he addresses the whole, you know, celebrating the cup win before you won the cup and,
you know,
renting out the top floors of clubs for the celebration party and putting ads in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
He may skip all of that stuff.
He might.
I don't. Well, we'll see.
We'll find out in just a couple of minutes. We'll play that for you. We'll get back to your calls as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We're broadcasting live from the Kirkbright Country Club here in Lincoln, Rhode Island. The 7th annual 18 Holes for a Cause to benefit the Jimmy Fund. It's Dale and Keefe, and first we trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Check the time as it's.
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
That's what you called it.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
So we are a little concerned about our buddy Doug Vaughn.
A little bit. He is a buddy of ours, too. Let's make that clear. I like Doug Vaughn.
We like him.
I like him.
He works for the Morning After Pill down in St. Louis.
Well,
I don't buy pill.
What's that?
I don't think
I saw the whole. They had a whole poster for the show.
Did they?
Yeah.
So he's at
Plan
590
A.
The fan.
No. Plan B. Yes.
He's at 590 the Fan in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And we got wind of him because we heard about these poems.
Yeah.
That he just brings off the top of the dome after games.
And we questioned him on whether or not they were off the top
and
or
then
not.
He did one.
Yeah,
for
he
us
did.
Out of nowhere,
he likes to just have a lot of hockey jargon, and he for some reason ties it in with like a farm situation.
There's a lot of farming going on.
I don't really understand that, but you know what? I'm not going to, you know, knock what he's doing. He's having a good time.
So it's safe to say that when Doug does a poem, he's in a better mood after they win.
Oh, of course, Dale.
Than after they lose.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have lost 3 times in this series, as the Bruins have lost 3 times in this series. So the last time they lost,
I was going to say their second loss was really demoralizing. You remember that? It was game 3. Oh, the Bruins dominated.
So this is a little snippet of Doug's poem. The last time the Blues lost.
All right, let's hear that.
The rain came, washed out the street party. The Bruins just stomped a mud hole in the Blues.
Mud hole.
And then the Cardinals, Cubs got rain delayed for 3.5 hours and played till after midnight.
I felt terrible.
About as poorly as it could have.
Maybe this is a rights holder take, but I thought there were a lot of positives to build on.
It was nothing to build on.
What?
No, just get it over with.
just get it over. It was 2-1. They're down 2-1, by the way. Just get it over with.
I wanted to go give him a hug.
How about the one idiot? I thought there were some things to build on.
No, there were no.
Not in that game.
No.
Now, ultimately, he was right, and they bounced back in the series. They took a 3-2 lead. But for that guy to be like, oh, it could be a rights holder take. Do they have the Blues games on that station? What are you talking about, rights holder?
Oh, they must be. Yeah, they do. They broadcast the old ball games on there.
On AM.
AM.
Nice.
AM 590.
No, I've heard it.
So last night, the city of St. Louis was primed for a celebration. They were running congratulatory ads in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch before the game was played.
Yes.
Congratulating the Blues on winning the Stanley Cup. The Blues had rented out the top floor of a local bistro downtown.
Oh, they were going to have a party.
For their, you know, Stanley Cup celebration. Mm-hmm. And then things sort of fell apart a little bit.
Yeah, they didn't
have
that.
So it got us thinking about how exactly.
Poor Doug. Did he show up to work today? I guess is the first question.
He was there, I think. Let's hear how he handled it.
Okay.
They were going wild in the Mound City.
Nice.
Bluesers stacked up like cordwood, ready for a cup-capturing coronation. But the party pooped out pathetically. Began to fizzle when Schinner rammed Nordsey's birdcage into the planks. And then Riles pitchforked a metal muffin into the hayloft, and we found ourselves two ranch hands shy of a quorum. Marchie one-timed a basket bulger into the side door of Benner, where the mailman leaves in such a toot when Papa comes home early from work. Riles was able to slide one under Tooksy's baseboard, where Uncle Harley buried that drifter fella. But late in the evening, the Double Bs visited the red light district on four occasions. Carlsy, Coolsy, Patsy, and Charzy all tingled twine. We had our chance to win the cup. Everyone was ready and all fired up. Looked like a night made in blue heaven, but we lost 5-1. Now it's on to game 7.
Was that guy eating something? Is he like eating something delicious? What was that at the end?
Leave him out for a minute.
Yeah, cut that guy.
We are not worthy.
Wow. That was pretty
intense. That was a tour de force.
Again, do you understand all the farm references? Why are we on a farm for all of this? I don't really get it. But he had some good stuff. And again, he's making some pretty serious accusations that your mom is sleeping with the
man.
He is very convinced that is happening.
And your uncle buried somebody under the baseboards.
Yeah, a drifter. Murdered a drifter.
Yeah, well.
So he has a few callbacks, which I like. He goes back to some of the good lines that he has, but he wasn't as out of it.
No.
After game three, he was like, just finish it.
Get it over with.
He's mentioning the Cardinals game. Like, nobody cares about the Cardinals game. This one's pretty good. He had some good details in there. Named all the goal scorers. Talked about some of the big hits, the momentum swings. But
Riles was able to slide one under Tooksy's baseboard, where Uncle Harley buried that drifter fella.
Drifter fella. And murdered somebody.
Buried that drifter fella.
So your uncle's a murderer.
Side door of Benner, where the mailman leaves in such a toot when Papa comes home early from work.
I do like the mailman.
Your uncle's
I love the
murderer,
image of the mailman.
Your mom's
trying to pull his pants up and run out of the house.
We found ourselves two ranch hands shy of a quorum.
Yeah, see, this is I'm curious about why he needs ranch hands and why he's trying to staff his farm the way that he is. But again, it's his thing. It works for him. And
nobody else has that act. And
nobody does. No,
he owns it. He was. I got to be honest. It was so much better than I expected.
Well, when we first heard it, we didn't really understand it. That was the thing.
Still don't.
As an outsider, no, I don't either. Again, the ranch hand stuff is really confusing to me. But we weren't really sure if this guy was sort of in on it, if he was not in on it, and then he is. He gets it. He says he's not a hockey guy, but he likes to do hockey lingo. Which I again would pause and ask hockey lingo and farm stuff.
I've
never seen that, but some of the other stuff, the nicknames are good. That's what they always call you, Charzy, all that. Why not? Good stuff there, Doug.
It's the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, so game seven.
Tell us that.
So Thursday morning, we'll check back in with what he's got. It's going to be either the best or the worst.
If the Blues win, I don't think I want to hear it.
No, he may. Yeah, that may be tough.
I only want to hear it if the Bruins win game seven.
Okay, fair.
I will not be in a mood.
No, true. Are you going to be at work on Thursday if they lose?
Sure.
I don't think. Rossi, does that sound very confident?
No. If they lose,
the Bruins lose.
I'm more concerned about whether I'll be at work if
they win. Oh, wow, you're going to be hammered?
Well, that's. I think it's actually.
He's going to stink of booze when he shows up. He's not going to have slept all night long. That could be entertaining, too, though.
Dale's been mentioning this hotel. That's very expensive.
No wonder you guys want it.
Because he already got a room. He already got a room.
Smart.
Spoiler.
You're splitting one with Billy and Barry and Jack.
It's the only way we can afford it.
Come on, guys. Five ways we can split this. We'll have a hell
like
of a night.
Package of hot dogs.
Yes.
Put them all in there.
Yeah, you're not going to want to drive home. You're going to be at the garden, then you walk over to the hotel. And then as long as you're at the station at 10 a.m., we're good to go.
I'll have to go pick them up.
That's good. We're going to need a third that day, Rossi. I already have a feeling.
We'll have a great hockey mind, I'm sure, on.
I'm, as I said, if they lose, I got no problems.
No,
I'll
I
be
know.
There. if they win.
Okay, all right, I could see that.
Now I want them to win so bad. Thursday morning is going to be before. Must Hear Radio, yes, 10 a.m. Keep it locked and loaded.
Yes, it is.
Just to see what kind of condition my condition is in.
I am fascinated.
Because it's just going to be hideous. Okay. But that's okay.
All right.
We'll be fine.
Yeah.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie, how you doing?
Hey, what's good up, Eddie? Afternoon. How are you?
How you doing? Good.
How
are
you? I'll tell you what. Last night was awesome. It was just a great game. And you were talking earlier, Dale. You said, you know, what are you worried about? Here's what I think the Bruins need to do on Wednesday night. If they don't turn over the puck in their end of the ice and they're not careless, they're going to win this game. And, you know, if they don't win this game, that means they would have lost 3 of the 4 home games in the Stanley Cup Final. And this team is just too good. And you saw it last night. When they come to play and they bring their A game, they can't be beat. And I look for them to come out Wednesday night and play their A game. And unless St. Louis has something else, it looks like at the end of the game last night, looks like they kind of realized that they blew a golden opportunity. And it's almost like they almost think they might be done the way they played at the end of the game last night. Not so much the way they played, but the way they acted at the end of the game.
Yeah, they did. I mean, I would say they lost their composure, but I don't know how much they've had composure. Like, that's not really their game
either.
And
I wonder, who will know, but I'm wondering what they thought. Did they think they were going to intimidate the Bruins going into Game 7? Mm. Did they think that, you know,
no,
punching Torrey Krug in the face, oh, well, I'm not going near him on Wednesday?
No, I think you're just frustrated. You had a chance to win. You're losing.
What was
you're
the
losing
wink
bad.
For then?
Well, he might be just like delusional.
Whack.
I don't know what his problem. Who was he winking at?
Somebody on the bench. He was going to the runway there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're trying to provoke somebody there too. But I think it's just more frustration than anything else. You know, it's like committing a penalty in a football game when the game's over, or it's like, you know, fouling somebody unnecessarily in basketball. You're just mad that you lost.
Jeff's on the cell phone. Hey, Jeff.
All right, so I have what could possibly be the only alternative to a David Ortiz who can't be there and a Tom Brady who we all want to be there.
Okay.
Technically speaking, if the Raptors win tonight, the trade deadline starts. Trading starts immediately after the finals are over. I could see a scenario with Anthony Davis leaving that flag on Wednesday night.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks.
They can't
the
make.
It,
they can't make it. They can't make a deal for him yet.
I don't want.
So
him.
I can't. No. And but let's say you
crazy,
did want him.
Yeah.
They can't make a deal for him yet. So why would he come to Boston and wave the flag?
Well, nothing says Bruins hockey like Anthony Davis.
All right, let's get Kyrie. Well, the Celtics guys had a tendency to show up late.
Jaylen Brown showed up when
he was
when
a trifle tardy.
To.
Traffic was tough.
Marcus Smart would be good. Marcus Smart's got grit.
I don't think that would get.
No Celtics. Keep the Celtics away from the Garden.
Yeah,
those guys are losers. You don't want any of them there. Let somebody else do it. Anybody else
for
do
me?
It.
There's a. It's a one person list.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's who it's going to be.
And assuming that for some unforeseen reason, Tom Brady can't do it, and I think he will.
Nate Ebner,
not so much.
No,
no.
You like Nate Ebner?
I like him a lot.
Yeah, okay.
But no, I wouldn't do it for me.
Who else? Oh, that's the one person you have. Or do you have one person other than him?
After him, I'm having. I mean, I guess Pedro.
Yeah, Pedro would be good too. Pedro would be good. Rossi, you're shaking your head.
Well, what if you go for like pillars? Like, and we already saw Bobby.
Pillars?
Orr. Oh, like of Boston sports, you get Bill Russell,
Ted Williams,
head.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Orr. What if you do like a con? Like
Bobby's
a
done it twice now, hasn't he?
I know, but
you can't bring. I mean,
you could, but
this is
like,
it, boys. Yeah. Like this,
you
is,
could bring him
no
every
day.
Did you just say this is it, boys?
Yeah, like there's no holding back.
This is it. Come on, boys. Let's go, boys.
I don't.
This is it, boys. Come on, boys.
Rehearsing.
That's
the
your
speech.
Hockey stuff.
Yes, I'm going to be.
That's what
you're
going to do. That'd be the one thing I would tell Doug Vaughn to add in. Say boys more. Less ranch
How about
hand stuff, more boys. No, boys. Come on, boys.
Boys is okay?
Come on, boys. Oh, come on, boys. Here we go, boys.
So, but there is one report.
This is it, boys.
That Tom Brady.
Jason Rossi quote of the day.
Yeah.
This is it, boys.
I'm fired up. That Tom Brady, this somebody that worked inside the Garden, apparently texted somebody saying they had asked Brady to be a banner captain earlier in the earlier rounds, but he wanted to wait until they made it to the final. And then when they found out he couldn't be there for Game 5, he said, if they make Game 7, I'll do my best to be there.
Where are you getting that from, Fourier?
It's somebody.
Oh, no. Really? We have to go there?
Is this source better
it's
or worse?
Fourier
than
and his wife share an Instagram account, so I don't know which one posts.
It's theirs. Okay,
I trust
good.
Her more.
Yeah,
so.
I would too.
Dunsky. Right.
I think it'll be him. That's my guess. And I think it'll look like it worked out perfectly because they had somebody
roof
different.
Will come off the place.
Oh, my God. It'll be perfect. the place will go absolutely insane. He's going to be wearing all of his rings.
Oh, would that be something? Shows up with the gauntlet with all six?
Oh, now, they need to make him a gauntlet.
Dale, you're there. Who has been the most chaotic, like, to get them out of that area? Like, who has been, like, everyone just, like,
probably
swarming
Gronk,
in?
Belichick.
Right? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
But that he had the real sharp-looking leather jacket, so.
Well, I don't know if it was leather, Dale. We heard that it may not.
One guy whose son was part of it.
He was right there. He saw it up close and personal.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tommy Kern is down here. We'll get his
thoughts
about whether TB12 will be the guy waving the fan banner coming up on Wednesday night. And we'll get back to your calls as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back to...
What's the name of the show? Where's Dale?
Dale and Keith.
You do know that it's not the Rich Keith Show
on WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. We're broadcasting live from the Kirkbrake Country Club here in Lincoln, Rhode Island, site of WEEI's 7th annual 18 Holes for a Cause, all to benefit the Jimmy Fund. And this is a celebrity-laden affair.
Yes.
We are hip-deep in celebrities. We already spoke to Lenny Clark, who does more charity events than anybody on the planet.
Great to talk to Lenny.
And we went right even higher on the celebrity list with Tommy Kern.
Yeah, no doubt. I saw Lenny out there. They have a massage lady out here. I wondered.
I saw that. Have you sat in the chair yet?
I wondered if he ordered up the craft.
Come on. No, Tom, dump that shime. That's unbelievable.
That wasn't that
Tom,
bad.
Come on. No, but people know what you're saying. They know what you're saying. You a good golfer?
Capable.
Are you? Yeah, so you are.
Capable.
That's good. It's a modesty.
That means he's good.
No, it is, and that's nice. That's good to hear. Do you have a handicap? Like, do you play a lot?
I got to 10, but I shouldn't be there. I got to 9. I really shouldn't be there.
Okay, that's a little, you're over your head a little bit with that.
Yeah.
But that's good. Do you golf a lot?
I like to. Yes, I do. I'm a guy who likes to practice.
See, what I've noticed,
I like to
Tom,
go to the range, and I think I practice too much.
It's expensive. It's an expensive hobby.
It is.
That and I suck at it is why I don't do it.
For today, so
well, today,
good.
No, but I mean, it's not, you don't do this every day.
If you practice, you don't really have to pay that much.
Yeah, all right.
So if you were guessing, and that's all we're doing here, does TB12 wave the fan banner flag before Game 7 Wednesday night at the Garden?
I would think that he will probably be very, very far from here by then.
Oh, really?
Interesting. That's an outright guess.
Yeah. That's a guess. Oh, yeah. Wrong, that's what we're asking for.
I know that he lights out for the territories the first opportunity he gets.
Hmm.
So that's my
special guess. Circumstance, though.
So now,
special circumstance.
Now, he didn't know the OTAs were going to be canceled, right? I mean, the last couple of practices were canceled by Belichick, so maybe he planned to be here.
But he ain't going to those anyway.
Yeah.
Trump card.
There is that. Now, what are the chances he has a new contract by the time the season starts?
I wrote about that this morning, and it's interesting when you look at this contract process as opposed to the other ones. I don't think it's been extremely urgent. I don't think there's any kind of drama. There's no subplot to it. You know, remember in 2010...
Might be done already, for all we know.
It's not done. It's really not even started.
So the long flight across country with Giselle and Tom and Bob Kraft, there wasn't any contract discussions going on during that flight?
I highly doubt it. I think there were other things at the top of the to-talk-about list during that period of time when they were going to the Academy Awards.
When they were coming back
from
there.
There was something in the news at that point.
Yeah, they also had things going on.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they've even started it, to be honest. But when we talked to Jonathan Kraft at the Super Bowl, and I said he's never gone into a walk year, meaning Brady,
right?
He said, well, we'll see if that's the case at
training
camp.
He said he still hadn't, right? But
he said, we'll see if that's the case at training camp.
Okay.
So I think that this is a period of time. But what remains to be seen, and this is what I wrote, is you have Roethlisberger, Wilson, and Rodgers are all at points where they're making $33 million per year or above. $30 million all guaranteed for Kirk Cousins. When he gets the deal, it'll be interesting to see in the final contract Brady does he give a sizable break? And we also are going to see what his exit time is targeted as, which we really haven't known you know.
Yeah, the number of years will be just as interesting as the money. Because, like, right now, I mean, I know his cap hit is higher, but the actual money is less than Andy Dalton, I believe.
Yes.
That's not ideal.
Yeah, they're like right next to each other. There's a couple behind Eli. Yeah, yeah. He's dead behind Cam Newton.
Like, that is strange.
Are you one of the folks out there who is saying you'll never see Rob Gronkowski in a Patriots uniform again? Or are you a bit more circumspect about that?
I would be much more in the first camp than the latter. Because having talked to him all year long, as much as we figure he'll be easily convinced to come back, he had it. He was all set. He didn't want to do it anymore. I don't think he really wanted to do it in 2018 to a large extent either. He's done with being told where to be, when to be there, how his body should feel, what they need from him. And they didn't do really anything at tight end to keep the heat off him. So what ended up happening was everything fell to him in 2018 anyway. And 2019, it could the same way. It's interesting to me to hear, as an aside on the tight end position, Kyle Shanahan over the weekend talking about Jacob Hollister. Did you hear that?
No, I love Jacob Hollister.
So does Kyle Shanahan.
Well, he's good. He's a good player when he's out there.
It's interesting how, and I'm not saying that they missed the boat on Jacob Hollister, but 50 tight ends have come into the league since 2016, among them George Kittle and Mark Andrews and some really good Hayden Hurst, who's not that great, the kid from the Jets, Chris Herndon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the Patriots are finding themselves in a position where they're trying to put things together at tight end still.
And
the
not drafting one was odd.
They went against type when they took a wide receiver in the first round. All indications are this guy looks pretty good, though.
I hate to use that phrase because everyone says it now, checks every box, but he kind of does. If you're going to use a first-round pick on a wide receiver, he better be able to block downfield. He better be able to compete somewhat like some of the guys you just had that you lost. So if he can make contested catches, which he does, he gives a crap on every single snap. To me, and Brady alluded to this last week when we asked him about Harry, is I wouldn't expect N'Keal Harry to have a huge game before Halloween. And people are going to have to get their heads around that because it's just so friggin' hard to walk in and hit the ground running and understand how to get off the line against, you know, who they open with. Well, Artie Burns, I don't know. They are open with the Steelers, but whoever's playing corner for them.
Yeah.
So it's just hard.
So are they going to be, like, running game and defense again for a while, you think?
I think the defense is going to be.
Yeah, the defense looks good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But I do think that they'll be running game heavy, and that's why the Damian Harris ad was interesting, and I also think that that's why, you know, we should monitor Sony Michel. He's not a guy who came into the league with a great medical history. And he might not
be there. And where's he been?
Oh, on that end, Isaiah Wynn cause for concern? Or is this just a part?
No, he was out there scooting around.
Oh, was he?
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, he looked great.
Okay, good.
He was not in team drills. He was in individual drills.
Right, okay.
So you'll shoot a 62, 63 here today?
Yeah, but we're playing best ball, Dale.
Yeah, well, I'm just talking about you. I did see that there was a 52 in there from somebody.
We did bring in 52. A ringer. We got old Jack Prue out of Bryant College.
Nice.
We know it's not going to hurt his eligibility at all because he's not eligible for any prizes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good.
And we got Danny Curran.
My game would make me ineligible for any prizes.
That's a good team. That's a good team right there.
All right, hit them well out there.
All
have
right,
fun.
Thanks, guys.
Good to see you. Tommy Curran joining us. We'll get back to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.